Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, we're going to talk tonight about taking your authority. You can go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. All right. Amen. This is a good subject, and it really dovetails nicely, I think, to what Pastor's been talking about. Our covenant with God, amen, and the benefits that we get, and authority is one of those benefits. And so just, I normally don't like it when people do this, but I had to look up the definition of authority just to kind of level set. And so it was really nice, is the power or right to give orders and enforce obedience. So that was pretty cool. That's got a tone to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Amen. And a lot of times when you think about Christians, or at least when the world thinks about Christians, they think maybe a little soft and mushy, and we love everybody, and we do, but we're not doormats either, right? And we're not going to allow ourselves to be, we're not going to allow Satan to dictate our circumstances or our lives. And so authority is one of those things that when you're in the midst of trial, right, and that problem is staring you right in the face, it's easy to lose sight of. Right? Because the problem, you can usually touch it, feel it, smell it, you know, sometimes, right? And so whenever you're talking about going up against your senses and everything, it's easy to kind of push the spiritual things aside a little bit. And that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness can take over if you don't kind of jerk yourself into, you know, what the Word says. So are you at Ephesians chapter 1? Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about our authority. In order to do that, we have to understand how we got it, why we have it, right? Amen. And so this scripture is going to help us do that. So Ephesians chapter 1, we'll go to verse 17. And you just got to love the Apostle Paul. Amen. And so he says here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, key word, power, toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, key word, power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that's important, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Okay, so this is setting up how the power came to us through Jesus and through his death. Amen. And so this is also telling us where Jesus is. And he's right next to God in heaven. Amen. And verse 21 goes on to say, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then we'll hurry and we'll go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Not far from where you are right now, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, so let's go back to that original scripture. We're talking about where Jesus is and how he got there, and there's power attached to that. And then you go down just a few more scriptures, and how many of you know when Paul was writing this, he didn't write the chapter, right? And the verse, we've all heard that before. This is just one big letter. And so people like us, thousands of years later, can, you know, I can tell you where you need to go, right? That's what the chapter and verse is there for. But he's drawn a correlation here that Jesus is up at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power, and we're right there with him. Right? That's the correlation that he's drawn there. And so when we're talking about principality and power, we're talking about like the stuff that Satan's trying to do, right? We're talking about the devil's plans or schemes or whatever. And so here we clearly see that we have power to conquer that, right? So we're working towards something here. So we need to establish the fact that we do have the authority, right? And I think that we've done that here, that Jesus has power over principalities and powers, right? And over the darkness of the world, and we're right there with him. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, okay? So authority is something that is position-based, and it's usually granted to somebody, right? Authority is given to somebody by somebody higher, And so if you've ever been in a position of management or anything like that, you are given authority by somebody above you, by the company that you work for. It's an easy analogy to understand. And so you have to, you are coming to whoever you're talking to in the name of that company, right? And so whenever we're dealing with spiritual things, we need to understand that we are coming against that with the name of Jesus. We have somebody far greater than us backing this, right? Now, he's given us the responsibility and the ability to exert that authority, but he's the one backing it. So let's go to Mark chapter 16. We'll set up with a lot of scripture here, and then we'll really get into it after that. So Mark 16, Great Commission, amen. So when we're talking about how we got the authority, let's see here, Mark 16, I'm in Matthew. Mark 16, we're going to verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs follow them that believe in my name. Here we go. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we have to understand that while we're seated with him, it's the name of Jesus that's what's backing us, right? That's what we have behind this authority. So whenever we're speaking to our circumstances or trying to exercise our authority, we have to realize it's not us that's doing it, right? There are things that happen in our lives that are well beyond what you or I are able to control. Things that are just part of living in this world, right? But we have to understand that we do have the ability to counteract that, and that's through the name of Jesus and using our authority. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to jump around here. Just hang in there. Philippians chapter 2. You guys are faster than me. I don't hear anybody turning. There we go. I hear some now. All right, good. It's good. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So that there are a lot of names, right? Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, cancer, relationships failing, right? There's a lot of names out there, but we have a name back in us that's far above every other name. Amen. And so he's highly exalted and given a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And then if we were to go to John 14, 13, we also can see there that he says, whatever you ask in my name. There's a lot of name scriptures, right? I think we really have to get a hold of the name of Jesus. It says here that whatever you ask in my name, that it'll be given to you. And a lot of times we'll close out prayers with in Jesus' name, and it's just kind of like we're signing off. Right? It's like a salutation. It's just a habit. Like we just say it. Just like I'll say amen in the middle of while I'm talking. Like I'm not asking you to say amen. It's just a habit. It's just what I do, right? Well, we close out prayers a lot of times in Jesus' name, amen. Why do we do that? Right? Because we're making it clear on whose authority we're asking this. Right? So whenever I just challenge you the next time you pray, don't just in Jesus' name, amen, and just wrap it up and like, you know, sincerely, Dustin, or with love, Dustin, in the name of Jesus, amen. That's not what it's for. Realize that you've got something backing you here. And so we talk about at work name dropping, right? So a lot of times if you're not getting the result you want, if you slap a vice president's name onto, well, so-and-so asked me to do this, how many of you know that you're coming to them, to this person in a name that's much higher than yours? Right. Or if you were to put that vice president on copy on the email, you will be amazed at how fast the turnaround time is. It's crazy. If I'm coming to them in the name of Dustin, it could be a few days, right? There's not a lot backing Dustin within the large company that I'm an employee of, right? But you start throwing around some VP names. Well, so-and-so asked me to do this. Oh, okay. Now, what did they say? You know, like everybody's super interested. You may even get a phone call, right? I just want to make sure I'm getting this right. So just understand that the name is really, really important. When we're talking about our authority, the name is where that's coming from. Amen? Demons are afraid of the name of Jesus if it's being used properly, right? If you're using it and you have an understanding of what it's capable of, demons fear that. And why? Because it's got power behind it, right? There, whenever you say the name of Jesus and you're using it in the manner in which it's intended, you'll see results. They'll flee from that. Amen?
Amen.
So what does it mean to take your authority? It simply means you're exercising your say-so. How many like to have say-so? How many like to have input, right? I've been in groups where I want to have creative input, right? Like they need my thumbprint on this one, right? I want to have some say-so, right? I want to have some controls. Anybody like to have control over circumstances or anything like that? Just Shelby, and that makes a lot of sense. We're in SMTI together, and I got to tell you, our relationship has plummeted. I think it's supposed to bring us closer together. It's been quite the opposite. I mean, pastors had to separate us multiple times. No, it's funny, but I like to be in control, right? I like to have say-so. And when you're taking your authority, it means you're not just rolling over and being a victim and just letting circumstances push you around, right? It's real easy to just, curl up in the fetal position and say, oh my God, what am I going to do, right? But taking your authority means that you take a strong stance. We read the definition of authority a little bit ago, right? Those are some strong words, okay? And so when a circumstance comes your way, I always like to say, you can tell where you are spiritually by what your first initial reaction is when something bad happens, right? And I'm not saying like, oh my gosh, I got a little emotional. I must not be spiritual. That's not what I'm saying, right? I'm saying, is your faith shaken? Like, are you ready to tackle this? Or are you like, oh my God, what are we going to do? If those are the first words out of your mouth, you might want to check up a little more often, right? Because you can't just roll over. Has anybody worked for anybody that's been a little passive, a supervisor's like, well, they just kind of beat around the bush. And if you want to, they're just kind of dropping hints. It's just like, tell me what you want, right? Tell me how it's supposed to be so I can do this. I like to be around people who talk candidly. I have some people, Shelby's maybe a little too candid, probably. She'd probably dial it back a little bit. Shelby, I feel like you might be a target tonight. It's just so great when you have the microphone, right? And they're just powerless and they just have to take the beating. I know I'll pay for it later in weeks to come, but right now I'm going to live it up. Amen. So 1 Peter 5:8 says to be sober and vigilant because your devil walks about like a roaring lion seeing who he may devour, right? What's that saying? That's saying you need to be on guard, right? Have your guard up, okay? Take an authority, and I'll give you a good one. Everybody knows about our dog, right? We got to have a dog story. That's what the kids say. You're like, Dad, anytime anything happens with the dog, they're like, hey, the next time you preach, make sure you tell that story. So we have a German Shepherd, and I think everybody knows how I feel about her, so I won't really go into that. But anyways, I love watching her. So the backyard is her domain, right? I think we've made that clear. I mean, she's flooded it. She's torn up everything in it. I mean, the fence is in shambles right now. She's escaped recently, broken the wood on the fence, and gotten out, right? Wooden fence. She made it out. Anyways, the backyard is her domain. And she is taking her authority any time that she has the option. And her arch nemesis are squirrels. She hates them. And Newburgh, we're overrun with squirrels. Like, there needs to be some sort of law where we can just shoot them. Because, I mean, they're everywhere, all over the place. And so there's a power line that runs parallel to the back of our fence there. And those squirrels are just up there just shaking that tail. And they'll walk a little bit, shake a little bit more. And I mean, it drives her bananas, right? I'm talking the hair on her back, like she gets like super puffy. And she has this bark that's just like, I mean, scary, scary bark. And so she's out just running back and forth, just barking. She's taking her authority. She's letting them know, not in here, right? Now, no squirrel would come into the yard. Like, they would be dead instantly. I know that. But they also know that she cannot jump 25 feet in the air. And so they're going to take advantage of that. And she loses her mind. every time a squirrel goes by. But I like watching her because she's like, this is my turf, right? This is my territory, and I'm going to protect it. She thinks these squirrels are going to harm us, right? And she's like, you know what? I got this, guys. I know that I've ruined everything else about this backyard, and you hate me, but you can be guaranteed the squirrel problem, it's on me. I got this. So whenever things are coming into your life, whenever you have those squirrels trying to pester you, you got to be on guard. Don't just roll over and lay down. Like Pastor was talking about, I think you had a cat, maybe with mouse just running, just walking right in front of it. Don't be like that cat. Don't be like that cat, okay? You got to be like our dog, and I hate to say that, but you do. She's got a lot of tenacity, okay? And I respect that because she's never caught a squirrel. She's never been close to catching a squirrel, but every time she goes out, she knows this could be the time, okay? So, you know, you got to protect your boundaries. I think that's really the message there. If someone were going to trespass on your property, I mean, guys especially, right, we're going to be pretty territorial, right? We're not just going to be like, oh, don't take the TV, you know? Don't take my kids, you know? They're so cute. That's not how I'm going to respond. I can tell you that guy's going to leave with a couple extra belly buttons, okay? And I want anybody who's coming up against something spiritual to have that kind of, this is my territory. You're not welcome here, right? It's just so easy to let those things in your life and not take your authority, but it's there for the taking. Amen? And I mean, we saw there, Jesus died to give us that authority, right? And so if we're not using it, what kind of message are we sending him, right? So when me and Jill die, we'll get morbid here. We're going to leave an inheritance for the kids. Don't get excited, guys, because it's a long ways off, all right? But it would break my heart to know that me and Jill did everything right. We made all the right decisions. We saved all the money. We put it in retirement. It grew and grew and grew. And they weren't taking advantage of that. They're living in some shack, right? Maybe they're on like the west side of Evansville or some dump. Let's go, Mark. Let's go. Here we go. I'm just checking all the boxes. Basically, everybody who's wronged me since the last time I preached, and Mark is always on my case, just like Shelby, I'm just checking them off. Sorry. That was not part of the plan, Mark. That was Holy Spirit. I'm sorry?
Did you get the pizza oven?
Oh, here goes with the pizza oven. All right. We won't talk about the pizza oven. Mark, that was Holy Spirit inspired. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. So you got to stand in between what's being threatened and what the threat is. Amen? So how do you take authority? So let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Amen. This is a good one, guys. I got to tell you, this is just one of my favorites. And there's a correlation drawn here. You know how you just read scriptures like 100,000 times and you just kind of breeze past things because you know generally what the story is about? And then whenever you have to like prepare for a message or something, you like start reading things a little bit closer and you pull this one out. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's do verse 5. The centurion, amen. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Okay, so we just breezed past that. I mean, this is a serious situation, right? Like this guy, I mean, when you're beseeching someone, that's pretty serious, right? I don't know if you've ever beseeched. I don't know that I have, but I can imagine that it's not pleasant, right? And so Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I mean, you have a nationally known minister saying, I will come to your house. We're going to take care of it. It's like, I mean, Kenneth Copeland's like, yeah, let me hop on a plane. You know, let's go to Evansville. Let's take care of business here, right? I mean, this is like a big deal. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should even come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Do with it. Amen. Sorry, that one tripped me up there. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to him, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and west." There you go, Mark. West side, baby. "And shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." Okay, so I want to just back up just a little bit. And when the centurion said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed," and then he immediately went to the authority subject. There's a direct, I love the correlation that he draws between authority and speaking, right? There's no such thing as silent authority. Can I just tell you that? It just doesn't work that way. I mean, just think about if your boss was mad at you because you didn't do something and you're like, "Well, I mean, you never told me." He's like, "So?" Right? He had to say it. He or she had to say it. Okay? So authority has to be spoken. And then I love the correlation that Jesus draws when this guy says, "I'm a man under authority." He had an understanding of authority, and Jesus talks about how he has not seen faith that great. Jesus has drawn a correlation between authority and faith, right? So taking your authority is an act of faith, right? So I think we're seeing that. That's not something that it's going to be tangible necessarily at the beginning. I think after you get into it and you start doing it often and you start seeing those tangible results, that'll help you get that momentum. But Jesus is drawing the correlation between his understanding of authority and what great faith is. Jesus hadn't seen faith that great, okay? So the two nuggets that I want you to take out of that are that authority has to be spoken, okay? And that authority and faith are intertwined. And so there's so much about words. We talk about it all the time. The Bible just chock full of stuff about words. And so, you know, as I kind of look through here, by your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned, right? By whose words?
Yours,
right? So I think a lot of people are waiting for someone to do something, waiting for someone to intervene, right? Can I just tell you, that's not how it works spiritually, right? In the natural, maybe somebody can intervene. But when we're talking about spirituality, there's no, the cavalry's not coming, right? You're it. You have to be the one to take that place. Nobody can do it for you. You have authority over principalities and powers, but nobody has authority over your spirit and who you are, right? So this is a personal responsibility. I love accountability. That's one of my favorite things. I hate it when people are not accountable. I think that's just one of the worst things. So I love, especially if like God's saying, "Hey man, you're in control of this. You need to be the one to do it." It's like, all right, I've got something to do here, right? I'm not just helpless floating out, just getting bashed in the head by circumstances. I've got some action that I need to take. Amen? So whenever we're talking about exercising your authority, you have to know what the word says. You can't take authority about something if you don't have any knowledge on it, okay? So you got to do some studying. You got to listen. If you're not listening to the podcast, can I tell you guys are missing out? There's just nothing more convenient than just hit and play. I mean, I'm not fumbling around looking for a CD or a tape. I'm not, you know, like, "Oh man, I just had to start over because, you know, I let it run." I mean, it is super easy, okay? So that's just a great way to feed yourself and get knowledge of how things work. And so I've got a good illustration here for you, okay? So yeah, I think you guys are probably gonna like this one. So you can't talk about something and speak about it, right? We've already drawn the correlation that authority has to be spoken. You can't speak about something if you don't know anything about it, okay? So I'm a big DIY guy, okay? And for those of you who've never seen a Home Depot commercial, that means do it yourself, okay? I like to just rip into things because I'm cheap, right? And I like a project. So those two things are a powerful combination. And I never want to pay anybody to do anything that I could do myself. And I've tackled many projects, most of which have been very successful. Worked on my car, replaced all kinds of parts on my old car, my old Grand Am, if anybody remembers it. Constantly replacing parts on that thing. replaced stuff on my air conditioner for the house. I mean, like I've done some stuff, okay? One area that continues to evade me is electricity. I don't understand it. It confuses me. My success rate with electricity is basically zero, okay? So when Jill and I were going to, we made the decision to sell the house in Huntingburg. I hadn't done anything to the place in 10 years, and of course, we're going to sell it, so now we're just going to do all, we're going to do everything, okay? And so a lot of people in here were involved in the bathroom remodel. Turned out great. Had a lot of great help. But one morning I woke up and I've decided that I'm going to fix the porch light that hasn't worked in 10 years, okay? Today's the day. Had no prior planning. I just woke up and this is what I'm going to do. And I do that all the time. And Jill, bless her heart, she's not even here. But like I just wake up and I'll be like, I'm cleaning out the garage and I'm going to wash all three cars today. You know, like no prior plan. I'm just going to do it. And so I woke up and I said, we're going to fix that porch light. And so she's on board. Okay. And so he's just laughing already. And so we go to Home Depot. We pick out this sweet LED light. It's going to look great. And we get it there. And just so everybody knows, I checked the light bulb. It was not the light bulb. Okay. So I know where everybody's mind is going. Okay. So the light bulb was fine. And so I also, because I've been shocked multiple times when working with electricity, I have one of those little detectors, right, that you hold up and it tells you that there's power going to it. So I know there's power going to the light. The light's just not working. I've replaced the light bulb, so we're going to fix it up. So we come back from Home Depot. I unbox it. I hook it up, screw it up in the thing there. I've turned the breaker off again, right, guys? Not just a hat rack, okay? I've been shocked multiple times. I've learned my lesson. So I go and I put on, we get the kids all together. I flip the breaker back on. Everybody come in, all right? This porch light that hasn't worked in 10 years, voila, nothing. I don't understand, right? I mean, this is a simple task. I mean, we were going to go out to dinner that night probably, right? This was not something I was going to use my entire Saturday on. So I'm like, huh. So I go back up there, put the little voltage thing up there. It's got power. What's the deal here, right? And Jason's just losing his mind here. He knows all about electricity, right? He's looking at me like he's lost all respect for me, and that's fine. So I'm like, you know what? It's the switch, somewhere in the switch. Something's wrong in the switch, okay? So we flip the power back off in the breaker, and it's two switches and an outlet just on the wall. And so I take the thing out, and it is a spider web of electrical tape and all kinds of wires and everything. And at that moment, I've got a decision to make, right? I can put the plate back on, take the light down, return it to Home Depot, and we can get on with our Saturday. Or I can dive into the deep end, boys, not knowing how deep that water is. What did I do? Got my swimming trunks on and we dove in, okay? And I just started unhooking stuff and little wires, they're going in between switches. I mean, we got everything undone. And it was right then, has anybody like seconds after you made a really dumb decision, your heart just starts pounding, you're like, what did I just do? Did not take a picture. Jason's holding up his phone. Nope, thought about it afterwards. And so I realize that I'm in over my head. So I go to the local expert, front row, my dad. But by that point, the damage had been done. He came up there, he brought his book of, you know, this is how you do electricity. And he's like, son, I don't know. And so we started wiring things back up, you know, kind of how we thought it should be. And we flipped the breaker back on and I'm like, all right. So I'm looking out at the porch light. I flip the switch and the microwave beeps. Microwave is now hooked up to a light switch. Microwave's way over there, guys. I don't know how this happened. We are in deep. We are in so deep. So not only do I not have a working light, I also have a microwave that I have to flip the switch on in order to use. So I had to up the ante a little bit and call, and I wish he was here, Chuck. Chuck, if you're listening, I'm sorry, right? So I called Chuck and, you know, I explained the situation to him and I could just imagine he's rolling his eyes, looking at Joanne like, why did she marry him? Like, my, she could have done so much better. I know he's good looking, but there's more to life than that. So anyways, Chuck drives 45 minutes And what I'm getting at here is, if you're going to be an authority on something, you have to know something about it. When he walked through the door, he knew in that moment I was not an authority on the subject of electricity. He saw the wires, he heard the microwave, and he does what he does. He's like, huh. And so he's an actual electrician that's been doing it for many, many years. And so he had all the tools and everything. And so he was able to get not only the microwave off of the light switch, but the porch light working, you know. And so it ended up eating the whole days. But what I'm trying to get at is that if you're going to speak about it, you have to know something about it, right? You can smell in 5 minutes when somebody's talking about something they don't have any idea about, right? Just like I didn't know anything about electricity, the devil knows when you don't know anything about what the word says. He knows this cover to cover, right? He was there when it all happened, right? He saw it all, okay? And so whenever you're trying to take your authority, but you really have no idea what you're talking about, that's not going to end well for you. Amen? So I want to go back one moment to talk about actually saying things, right? So I used to be a big silent prayer guy, you know, just praying to myself inside in here, right? Can I tell you that doesn't do anything, okay? You have to actually say the words. The centurion knew about it, right? He said, speak the word, right? He didn't say, think about it, you know, and then go home and check if his servant was better, right? It actually had to be spoken. So whenever you're taking your authority, you actually have to say it out loud, and it'll feel weird at first, right? If you've done it a lot, it's like nothing. But whenever you're taking authority over a situation or circumstance, in Mark 11, it talks about speak to the mountain, right? Did it say speak about the mountain? No. What does the mountain represent? Anything. Any faith project, any sort of situation that you're dealing with, that's what the mountain represents. And we love talking about the mountain, right? Have you ever been around somebody that's a mountain talker? That's all they want to do is talk about their problems over and over and over, doing nothing about it, just talking, right? The Bible says we're supposed to speak to our mountain. So whenever you are talking about something you don't know anything about, the seven sons of Sceva, remember those guys? They were saying it, weren't they? They were casting out devils, right? No, that's not what they were doing. They were attempting, right? But they didn't have the authority. They weren't believing it. They didn't have the knowledge and the revelation that you need in order to take advantage of that. All right, as we start to close out, we'll talk about four areas where you need to be on the defense and where you need to make sure that you're taking your authority, okay? First thing, right here, in your mind, right? This is something that I think if you're a human, you struggle with it to some degree, okay? Some maybe more than others. And maybe you're just awesome and you've got it all figured out and you never battle in your mind at all. Hats off to you. Maybe after service, tell me how you do it. But I can tell you that's not how it works for most people, okay? So the first thing you have to do is you have to fill your mind up with the word. If you're going to take authority over it, you can't be filling it up with garbage, okay? Garbage can be a myriad of different things. It can be the news, social media, who you're hanging out with, right? I'll give you another story about the influence that people can have over your mind and make you do stupid decisions, right? So whenever I was in college, I was in a band. Very fun time of my life. My dad just shaking his head. I love it. I love it. So the band was like it for me for like 3 straight years. It was all about the band. I was in college, right? I would miss class a lot to go hang out with these guys for shows, whatever. Guys, can I tell you, we were terrible. Okay. We were fun to watch. We're jumping around and headbanging and doing all this cool stuff, but the music itself, not so much. Right. And so all of the guys that are in the band are not in college. They're out in the workforce, didn't go to college. And so started talking to me about, you know, what if you quit college? Right. What if you just got out, started making some money so you can buy nicer gear? Because that's the missing link, right? It's not our talent. Obviously, we have talent. It's the gear. So why don't you quit your job and, you know, let's go after this, man. We wanted to get signed to a record label, and we were going to tour, and it was going to be, we talked about it all the time. As I look back now, I'm just, wow, idiots, okay? So I decide, so what I'm saying is you got to be careful who you let speak into your life. That's what I'm getting at. But I did sit down with my dad, I remember in the garage, and I was floating the balloon of, hey, what if I quit school, which was free, by the way, and, you know, really just get after this band thing. And dad at that point had, you know, been, yeah, the band's cool and everything, but I could tell that something was different right now. And he's like, I'm going to level with you, son. The band is going nowhere, okay? Just heart to heart, father to son, that they're terrible, son. You have no future, okay? I'm 2 years into school, you know, maybe three, right? Like the finish line, I can see it. And I'm thinking about throwing it away, right? Forget about it. And I mean, thank God for parents that'll speak into your life, right? Because he jerked that right back to where it needed to be and, you know, went ahead and finished the old education. And, you know, to no one's surprise, the band did not get signed. They did not tour. So it's not like one of those stories where, like, you know, Bon Jovi or something, where the keyboard player, his dad talked him out of going, and then they went on to make billions of dollars. It didn't end like that. So dad was right. But what I'm saying is you got to keep those influences. You can't take authority over your mind if you're just going to fill it with garbage, right? That's what I'm getting at. And so I'm going to give you just some rapid-fire scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, to bring every thought into captivity. That sounds like authority, doesn't it? Captivity, like that's a pretty strong word, okay? And so whenever you're saying things out loud, and so these are some things that helped me, and, you know, just 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, power and love and sound mind. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes me to triumph. I'm trying to show you the things that you can say, right? When you're taking authority and you need something to say, here's some good things to get you going. I'm more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. I can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4:37. So another place that you need to make sure that you're on guard, and Pastor talked about it, your health, right? Don't just allow things to come in and steal your health, okay? Jesus died so that we could live healthy lives. You got to take your authority. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. We've all been through instances where things aren't working the way they need to. But then I can also tell you that just like you can't feed your mind garbage, you can't treat your body poorly and take authority. There are things that you can do that even if you've got the knowledge and you're taking the authority, but your actions are just going against everything that you're trying to make happen spiritually, you're negating it, right? So like a guy's got heart disease, but he's just eating sausage sandwiches for like every meal, right? And he's putting salt on it. You know, like, come on, buddy. Don't be in the prayer line, right? Just forget it, man. Just forget it. You get off the sausage, then we'll talk, okay? Here's a good one, and this will excite Mark. Marriage. Mark loves the marriage scriptures, I've noticed. He was going wild a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about marriage. I almost moved to the back. Jackie, not a fan. She's just sitting there like, go ahead and finish that. Go ahead and finish that. Taking authority over your marriage, and Mark, I'm saying this for you, that doesn't mean you're telling your spouse what to do, okay? So, just teasing. That's not what it's about. Can I tell you that Satan's after marriage? Yeah. Right? Marriage is such a, if you're a married person, marriage is a huge part of your day-to-day life. If the marriage isn't going right, I can almost guarantee you, almost nothing else is going to go right, okay? Satan's after it, trying to pervert it, twist it. You know, have you noticed anything that God creates and sets up, he tries to pervert and twist, right? So Satan's after marriages. And so ways that you can take authority over your marriage is by walking in love, right? Living the way, treating others as you would want to be treated, right? Those are things like that. And I'm not here to give marriage advice. There are people that have been married in this room longer than I've been alive. Mom and dad, that's a joke, obviously. But I'm not here, you know, we're not trying to give marriage advice or anything like that. What we are trying to do is just call your attention to this, right? Because if Satan can somehow weave his way into your marriage and start dividing you two, you're on a bad path, right? When trust gets broken or just attitudes that can go on for years and years and years, it's hard to pull yourself back out of that. So Jill and I are real, real protective of the marriage, right? And we cut up with each other. It's not like we're, it's just all love and we never pick on each other or anything like that. We absolutely do. It's fun. We have a good time. But we're very protective over it. We understand that nothing in the household goes right if she and I are not on the same page. And so Satan will definitely try to present situations where you guys could turn on each other. We have two small children, and when they are screaming their heads off, and one's playing the drums at 100 decibels, and the other one won't take his bottle and just wants to scream, it'd be real easy to just let that stress level, you know, get us a little crabby towards each other. But we never do that. We're always on guard. Our marriage is super, super, super important. And so, again, it's not marriage advice or anything like that. Plenty of people in here with way more experience. But I just want to make sure that everybody knows that you can take authority over your marriage. Maybe you're in a situation right now listening on the podcast and you don't know what to do. There is something you can do spiritually. You can tell Satan where to go and get off of your marriage, right? You got to do all the right things in the natural. It's not going to work if you don't. But I just want to call everybody's attention to that. Amen? Money. That's another one, right? That's another place where you need to take authority. And there's plenty of things you can do in the natural. You can tithe, right? If you're not tithing, you're confessing your authority over your finances is not going to work. I can just tell you that right now, okay? If you're tithing and you're bad-mouthing the tithe, not going to work, right? I've been a tither ever since I've had a job, and I thank God Mom and Dad got me in early on that, right? There's a period of time where I would talk bad about it and complain about it, right? What do you think my results were? There were no results, right? Once I turned that around, I could see a big difference really, really quickly, right? The Bible says, give and it will be given unto you. Amen. There's plenty of scriptures. He always causes, or he wants us to prosper and be in good health. Amen. There's plenty of scriptures that you can quote. You got to go look them up. Get them like on a note card or something like that. And so when that attack comes, you'll be ready for it. But again, you can't make stupid money decisions and claim your authority, right? You can't be putting McDonald's on your credit card and be like, God, I don't understand why it's not working. Well, I can tell you why it's not working. You put a Big Mac at 38% interest on your credit card. Why don't we start there? Let's put the authority thing, just put it by the wayside for just a minute, and let's just take a look at what we're spending our money on, and then we'll bring the authority back in here. Amen? So you got to be prepared. As we start to close out here, I think, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves at work is when somebody shows up to a meeting unprepared, right? It's just a drain on everybody, right? You can tell that they have put zero thought into this. And so the worst time to be getting after it from an authority standpoint for the first time is when the trial hits, right? You don't want to be, oh man, where's my note card? You know, blowing dust off of it. All right. What did it say? Have this in your mind constantly, right? That's why I always talk about the podcast when I get up here. Scott, I'm trying to plug the podcast, buddy. I know you work hard on it. The podcast, guys, give it a shot if you're not already. It is just a great tool to just keep that stuff going in your mind. And there's a lot of, you know, other podcasts from other ministries out there for sure. But our podcast is what's for this house, right, for this body. And so make sure that you're prepared, because taking your authority doesn't mean that you're never going to experience an issue, because you most certainly will, right? But taking your authority means you're prepared when it does happen, okay? And you're willing to take a stand and not roll over, not be a victim, not be spineless or anything like that. You got to be strong. The society in general is just heading towards just wimpiness overall, right? We talk about it. And I'm not going to get too deep into that, but I like people with some backbone, right? That are going to say how things need to be. And God responds to that. His anointing responds to that. The Holy Spirit responds to that. Whenever he hears strong words, and Satan responds to that. Let's not forget that, right? He understands, like, when you're coming from a position of authority, he's got no right to be messing with your stuff. Amen? Hey, did you get a nugget? I mean, at least one. Amen. Praise God. So we'll go ahead and close out in prayer. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for the opportunity to, again, discuss your word, Lord. We just help our hearts to hang on to this message, Father, and use it in our day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.